Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The campaigns officer at the Irish Wildlife Trust has resigned from his position after a blog he wrote criticising farming organisations was edited and parts of it were removed. Pádraig Fógarty's blog post was titled Drift of the Farm Orgs and had accused farmers' representatives of spreading far-right conspiracy theories and undermining climate science. It claimed the main farming bodies were increasingly lurching to the far right. I'm joined now by Pádraig Fógarty and also by Pat McCormick, president of one of those farming organisations, the ICMSA. Good morning to both of you, gentlemen. Pádraig Fógarty, controversial statement, increasingly lurching to the far right. What is your evidence to support it?
Yes, so I was trying to point out what I see as a tendency in the farm organisations, particularly in recent months, to attack science and scientists and basically spread fear and scaremongering, I think, among rural communities in particular. Now, I did single out the ICMSA, and if you don't mind, I have a few examples. For instance, at the end of June, a press release from the ICMSA gave a quote from Pat McCormick that said that the title of the press release was "They Want Family Dairy Farms Gone," and he said that it's not about the data or the science; it's actually about the ideology and the government's need to keep in harness viciously anti-farming elements. Now, Pat also did an opinion piece for the Irish Times in which he said that big corporations like Nestle were teaming up with environmental organisations to, quote, end traditional farming. And we also heard Pat on RTE last month basically denying that we have a biodiversity crisis and saying that, you know, it was probably down to motorways or mink. So this is why I feel that I need to stand over my argument.
Okay, let's go through those one by one. Pat McCormick, that press release from the end of last month, I think, did say in a direct quote from you that there are elements within government that want farming gone.
The family farm, the family dairy farm gone, yes, and we stand over that. You know, we've seen the introduction of cow banding in 2023, which has had a huge impact. It has resulted in some of our family farm models, you know, the very modest 50, 60, 70, 80 cow men and women lose 15% of their herd. Now we're facing into the spring of 2024 with a potential nitrates derogation changing from 250 to 220, which is another 15% approximately, or just shy of it, gone. Ultimately, it's going to lead to a 28% reduction on some farms. And we have examples of those right around the country.
That is an effort, though, to regulate a problem with water quality. Is Pádraig Fógarty not making a good point when he says that superlatives like the ones you're using aren't justified?
Well, I don't accept that. The reality of it is, and he talked about, you know, challenging scientists and attacking actually scientists and science. The reality of it is water quality has disimproved in areas since 2012, but that trend is beginning to reverse. And we must remember that that trend is beginning to reverse. These farm family models that I have here are farmers who didn't actually increase cow numbers in the intervening decade, and they're finding themselves significantly hit here. So, you know, if we are to idolise our science and our scientists, we need to take stock of what's coming out of Moorpark. And there was a phenomenal crowd attended their open day last week or the week before, where there was an embracement of the science, what can be done with multi-species swards and clover for the future. But I would like to go through
we'll come back to the others in a second. Pádraig, what I hear there is a dispute over the metrics that are being used to assess water quality. I don't see evidence of a lurch to the far right.
No, I'd have to take issue with what Pat has just said there, particularly around water quality, because that's so topical at the moment. There's no evidence that we've turned a corner on water quality. In fact, the Environmental Protection Agency spoke to the Joint Oireachtas Committee last week. They were very clear that water quality is deteriorating, and particularly deteriorating in the south and southeast, where we have intensive dairy farming going on. We've also seen the work, I have to say, the excellent work and the impartial impartiality of the EPA has been called under question, has come under attack.
Just to come back in there, you know, the Timalee catchment area is a great example of what can be done with some of the most intensive dairy farming operating below in West Cork, and to see the improvement. And I think that was highlighted by Senator Lombard during that Oireachtas hearing.
I know, Pat, but you're cherry picking one catchment where the overall thrust of what the EPA found in its most recent water quality report was that the quality of water had disimproved nationally.
And the science, Philip, and to listen to the science. And if you were in Moorpark, you'd hear the science as regards the fertiliser type, the reduction in fertiliser usage, the low emission slurry spreaders. These can all contribute to a significant improvement in water quality. We've seen fertiliser usage back anywhere between 14% and 16% for 2022. And, you know, that's going to deliver.
Okay.
But it's not going to deliver today. It takes a period of time from the changes that happen in farm practice to the scientific results in water quality. And farm families are being denied that opportunity with one piece of legislation after the other, rolling in every 6 or 8 months. And that's where farm families find this whole system frustrating. And, you know, we have a duty and an obligation, and I actually have a mandate to represent those families and to put their point across in the public domain.
Let's move on to the second point that Porrick made there, though, Ned, that organisations like Nestle were teaming up with organisations like your own with a view to ending traditional family farming. What's the basis of your assertion there, Pat?
Well, you know, I suppose it's a hugely challenging period for the family farm. You know, these companies don't seem to mind where their product comes from. But, you know, the whole ideologism of Irish agriculture is that we promote ourselves as being a family model. And we need to preserve that. And it's absolutely critical that that's preserved. And that comes under attack, you know, whether it is the multi-companies or indeed the retailers. And we've seen the retailers slash the price of product over the last 6 or 8 weeks.
Okay.
And that's going to be a consequence. It's good news for the consumer, but it's going to have huge consequences for the family farm model.
Okay, Pat, what I'm not hearing from you here, though, is any evidence that supports the grand assertion that there are corporate interests that want to end family farming in Ireland.
Well, look, they're not out there promoting the retention and the financial stability, sustainability of the family farm model in their action.
Porrick, what was it that you heard Pat McCormick say that leads you to believe that he doesn't accept that biodiversity is threatened by agricultural activity?
Yeah, he gave an interview with Sarah McInerney on RTE, and I don't have the transcript in front of me, but the interviewer basically said that, we have a biodiversity crisis, and Pat was quick to fire back to question that. Do we have a biodiversity crisis? And then he went on to talk about the impact of motorways.
I think, Philip, you need to go back to the record and get the record, because I know exactly what happened there.
Well, what did you say, Pat?
Sarah said that we have a biodiversity crisis, and she signalled out agriculture as being the issue. And I took offence to that, because agriculture has a part to play in the biodiversity crisis. But I highlighted that whether you build a new train line, or you build a new motorway, or you build a new housing estate, all these have an impact on biodiversity as well. And that agriculture isn't the only issue that's out there when it comes to biodiversity. That there are a multitude of others, but that agriculture was yet again being highlighted as being the be-all and end-all of the biodiversity crisis that we have.
Porrick?
So I don't like to be quoted out of context, and that's what he's doing, because I accept that agriculture has a part to play, but if we're all to be honest people, we should challenge the issues that are there, and we should be trying to come together and to work together, Philip, and that's the critical issue as we move forward. But I'm afraid our colleague doesn't seem to have that ethos to find solutions to the challenges that lie ahead, because I represent a sector that has more to give in the benefit of biodiversity than any other sector.
Okay, that's a fair point, isn't it, Porrick, that farmers are going to be the agents of environmental change here. So what good is served by people like you picking on farmers and likening them to fascists?
Yes, I totally agree. Farmers are on the front line of this crisis, and they can be the front line responders to this crisis. In fact, I would say we can't deal with the crisis without farmers being on board. I was also making the point in my blog that I have visited a number
Pat, let him finish.
I've also made the point in my blog that I have visited a number of farms and farmers over the last number of years. I hear farmers who are concerned about their livelihoods, who are concerned about the future, and who are concerned about climate change and biodiversity loss and what's happening in the world.
But is it not the case that right now we're at a point where the problems we face will only be addressed by putting environmentalists and agriculturalists in the same room trying to work them out rather than calling each other names from the opposite sides of the ring?
I think what you've just said there misses a very important point, and that is the role of the state. Many people see this as a debate between farmers and environmentalists and think, oh, why can't they not just get in a room and sort it all out? The state is in a unique position in controlling our food system, and a very small number of people get to decide what happens to our land, how the tax money is spent. And the state itself has reneged on so many of our environmental obligations, and I think that was highlighted by the Citizens' Assembly on biodiversity loss. Ultimately, it
was
not
for... But your blog picked on farmers, not on the state.
No, I didn't pick on farmers, Philip. I picked on the farming organisations, and this is the distinction that I want to make. I have written many times about the role of the state and the responsibility of the state in leading on our biodiversity and climate crisis. And this is why it is not it's not a reasonable position to say that all environmentalists and farmers need to sit down and work it out. If it was that easy, we'd have done it 30 years ago.
Pat, you have a responsibility as a farm leader to stop whipping up fear amongst your own members by talking about the end of family farming, because there doesn't appear to be any evidence to support that, does there?
I don't accept that. You know, obviously I mentioned two issues for our specific sector, the dairy sector. They are cow banding, which has seen a significant reduction in cow numbers in places. Also, a move from 250 to 220 is going to further undermine the economic viability of otherwise very sustainable family farm units. In fact, units that you'd be very proud of that have their hedges and their wildlife and their biodiversity. But, you know, we must look further afield, and I'll hesitate to agree here. We have 50,000 farmers in an agri-environment scheme today that's oversubscribed. Previously, we had 66,000 farmers in a scheme. We need to maximise the number of farmers that come into agri-environmental schemes. And just, you know, he highlighted there that he takes pride, actually, in having a crack at the farm leaders. And I've no issue with that, if it's a fair and honest crack. But whether it's myself or our Deputy President, Dennis Drennan, we've always engaged with all sectors, whether that's government, department officials or environmentalists. I was the only farm leader that attended and addressed the Citizens' Assembly, because it's about finding solutions. It's not about name-picking and the opportunity to be in the public domain, having a crack at one another. That's not where solutions are found.
Pat McCormick of the ICMSA, thank you very much. And Padraig Fogarty, formerly of the Irish Wildlife Trust, thank you also.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.